everybody. Very conscious that was a super whirlwind tour of the four very big question areas. Thank you for participating. We'd now like to just hear back from each of the session facilitators headlines of what was discussed before we hand back over to James for closing comments. And you will receive some lunch in approximately 15 minutes. So, David, give us the headlines from session one.
Okay, thank you, my teams. I think we had by far the most productive and best session. So, although somebody left their mobile phone in the first session, so if anyone's missing a Nokia Vodafone, Lovely, so we were starting with the fundamentals, customer needs. Just for reference, customers included end users and freight users, but not TOCs. So we went straight for the end user. So this is very difficult to debrief because we had 18 pretty good ideas. So I've picked three. So apologies to those whom I haven't picked. So the first idea in response to question one, which is about understanding the needs of passengers now and into the future. We came up with an idea called My Needs, which is a kind of crowdsourced information platform, or at least that's how I've interpreted it, so that people themselves can submit political, societal, demographic, economic, technological, geographical data. So actually, the source of information is the people themselves. Why not enable them to give them that information to us? Brilliant idea. Thank you very much, that team. The second question, my favourite idea, was called My Journey. And it's about a single, trustworthy source of information. So who do you trust about your journey? So the question is, how will customers know what the railway's offering, both in advance and real time? And the group is debating the source of that information. Who do you actually trust? Again, there may well be a crowdsourced element to that too. And thirdly, the question was, how will the system design contribute to reducing passenger stress? So we had a lot of debate about what contributes to passenger stress, and there's a whole list of interesting factors if you're interested on our board. But I love this idea. It's called buy the journey, not the ticket. So what you do is you buy a destination, and the ticket flexes to take into consideration perturbations, your own changes in personal itinerary. So the contract between you and the TOC is you buy a destination at a certain time, and maybe the price flexes, but certainly you get there when you want to. That's it from me.
Thank you. Round of applause. Okay, I'll stand here, shall I? So, don't have time to go into detail. This was a massive subject, and we were slightly constrained by the room, but I'm going to do my best, a bit like David, just to pick out three headlines, and apologies to all the things that we haven't captured. All the cards will be in boards in the foyer. We urge you to browse those later. But so this breakout, which was in here, was all around optimising system performance. A lot of quite valid questions around how do we define the system, how do we define performance, how do we define optimise. But once, notwithstanding those important questions, some of the important criteria for question one here, the criteria of system performance. One was around the timeliness of information as a measure of success in its own right. And what the group sitting over here in the second breakout was talking about, in a similar way that we have a marketplace now around carbon, having a marketplace around kind of time and delays, or possibly people trading, train operating companies or whatever, trading time. So there's a marketplace that builds up around timeliness of the system. How will we develop tools, algorithms, cost functions, timetables? Huge question. All I will say is it almost certainly involves collaboration outside of the rail industry, and there was quite a lot of debate and discussion about how that would work and where that would come from. But there was a plea in several of the conversations around making data completely open, possibly for a small fee in exchange for other benefits that come from that. We had an impassioned plea for just run the trains on time and don't do anything else. Just get me to the church on time, as it were, versus having no timetable whatsoever and a much more dynamic system. I think that one will run and run, hopefully not fisticuffs, but I think that's an interesting debate to be had beyond today's session.
They're not contradictory, are they? Run on time doesn't mean to say there's to be a timetable. Your promise to the customer is you will arrive at that time. It doesn't have to be a timetable.
Okay, I think I need to get my head around that point, but thank you for that contribution. Then finally, the technical and commercial constraints. There are many, not least in the perception of our customers, and the infrastructure costs of making some of the changes that we're talking about. But one of the comments that came out again in the second session was around, the commercial business model with which we operate. Somebody used the word adversarial that exists. We need to get much better at sharing risk and sharing reward across the industry and outside of the industry to make some of this stuff happen. In terms of the technical constraints, there are a whole range around intellectual property and what we value and what are some of the conditions that come with that. So lots more I could say. Do check out the board, but thank you. That was round two. Round of applause for me. Thank you.
So thank you very much to the two groups of people who came together to talk about challenge three. Do I have to do something here to make it go to challenge three?
Yes.
There we go. How humans and computers can work together. This is a subject that's particularly interesting to me, so it was great to hear so many brilliant conversations going on. Lots of agreement between the two groups, but also new ideas coming out in the second group, the first group I haven't alighted on. So I'm just going to pick out just a few random things almost. Oops. General sense that there's a pretty good understanding of what computers are good at and what versus what humans are good at. Computers are good at repetitious tasks, tasks involving lots of calculations, kind of boring things, that sort of thing. Humans good for exceptions. One gentleman said it's for the things that happen once every 25 years. That's when you want a human involved in the loop. Lots of talk about decision support systems, how computers or technology in general are good at providing alternatives to humans. This is what will happen if you choose this. This is what will happen if you choose that. You decide. So good way of integrating the two together there. And then an identification that, of course, if you start getting decision support systems in that area and that area and that area, that they might start conflicting with each other and you have to then think at a higher level to bring the story together. Good sense that passengers should be kept in the loop, both in terms of being informed about what's going on. We've decided to delay this train because... and also being part of the decision-making process, a sort of democratic choice of where the train ought to go based on where the people on it might want it to go. What else? Identification of a good, an interesting sort of middle ground between humans and computers, remote control. So still human control, but the human isn't where the control is happening. So think about things like UAVs. And then the last thought, which I thought was really good, it just intrigued me, was this notion that that we actually have five senses. So when you are trying to interface with humans, you can use all five of them to communicate information, which made me start thinking about the next generation of perhaps driver seat and the driver wondering, why is the seat getting awfully warm? I wonder what it's trying to say to me, which I thought was a different kind of a thought. So thank you very much. There's lots of information on the cards outside. Go and have a look. Thank you.
We looked at dealing with data, and we looked at it through the lens of these three questions. And in the 5 minutes prep, thinking about how on earth I was going to explain to everybody the inordinate amount of topics that we covered in the two sessions, a couple of things really came clear to me. And one of those was that across all of the tables and all of the discussions, the main issue that seemed to rise to the fore was the fact that the definitions of some of these concepts really haven't yet been nailed down. So if the industry as a whole is going to begin to start to attempt to answer these problems, one of the first questions that needs to be posed is, how do we actually define the concept of, for example, data integrity or security? Following on from that was the fact that everybody needs to work together in order for this to happen, and the need across a variety of different areas of the industry to actually begin to start talking in very specific terms in relation to dealing with these issues. Also was the fact that every table seemed to begin to talk about similar things. So there was a very significant crossover in terms of tables that were talking about specifically how to sense data and how to collect it and how to communicate it, and how that impacted on the personal privacy of individuals perhaps that were going to be providing that data through smartphones, and how the security of that information could be guaranteed. So if I look at some of the specific things that have been that were raised, were looking at the frequency of information coming from sensors. It's not the question of whether or not there's enough data coming, but how on earth do you manage to work out what's valuable, who owns that data, depending on where it's coming from. And one of the things that the tables that began to explore areas worked through, particularly question two, worked through an actual process that was very interesting to dig into. Essentially, there are 5 points looking at how you need to begin at the start to categorise the data, and then to understand the threats and vulnerabilities that are associated with that, looking at consequences of what's going to happen if that data is compromised, and ultimately, what are the safeguards and mitigations, and how you can ensure that you can continue to learn from the data as it comes in on an ongoing basis. So, a lot covered, and if you'd like to have a look at the cards that were produced, they'll be on the board later over lunch. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're sort of running 5 minutes late, but final words from me, and then final words from James, and then I promise you there is lunch. So just want to, I don't think we will have had time in the breakouts to discuss this, but really want to urge you all now in your discussions over lunch, in the afternoon and beyond today, we'd love to discuss these points with you, but also with each other. So what is the role of you and your organisation to addressing the Futro challenge? Really, really keen to make this personal to you and your organisation. Who else could and should be involved? We touched upon some of that in some of the breakout, but I think there's a wider discussion and debate to be had there. And finally, again, we touched on some of this, but some of the business models, how might this work to realise the vision that we saw presented earlier today? So, Saban, can we get James's slides back up? Thank you. And so I think all that leaves me to say is thank you for playing the game, as it were. I think we enjoyed it. We will be digesting, synthesising this and sharing it through various channels, urge you to engage with it. We'd love to talk to as many of you as possible today. If you've got time to stick around at lunch and after lunch, we'll be here till about 3:30, 4 o'clock. Also, we've got the Amplified crowd, Steve and Brian are going to be looking for people to interview, video, talk to, capture some of that stuff, to share it to a wider audience beyond this room, which is really, really important. So engage with those, please. Just want to get a quick round of applause in Barrett Murray for his rather nice artwork on the wall. Can I get a round of applause? I noticed we still have a Union Jack in 2040, which, given the Scottish referendum next year, is up for debate. But so thank you. And so maybe we can take that into the foyer at lunch and you can have a look at it. And I'd love to see if that sparks some thoughts for you. I think that's it. All the breakout materials will be in the hall. So thanks again.